Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 21. Wrath, North, Feedback.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I am Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And today, not tonight, because we are actually recording in the middle of the day. Yay! We are bringing you a very special feedback-only episode because we got so much from the season finale, the two-part season finale that they aired in one night. So we decided, since you guys would normally get two episodes for these two episodes, we're going to give you two episodes. They're just going to be a little different.
Exactly.
And if we get a whole bunch of feedback for the season premiere of The Walking Dead, then we might reformat our podcast a little bit, too. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I guess we just get back into our feedback, huh? A little weird.
Yeah,
we're all thrown off.
That's well, there is one news item we can use if we want to,
but we're just doing a feedback episode, so
exactly. Okay,
we can talk about
it. Done talking,
time to listen. All right, first we have feedback from the previous episode, Date of Death. It's what Laura gave us. Laura, something. Sorry. I'm forever going to screw that up. I hope you forgive me. I love you like bunches.
Bara soap.
Laura. All right. I just watched this last night. Sorry for the late feedback. ! I give it an 8 out of 10. Pretty good episode. It was a little slow, but I like it for the human drama it creates. A bit more realistic with more shades of moral gray than the main show in the character relationships and situations. The whole interaction between Madison and Alicia was very real. And even though I still can't stand Madison, the mother-daughter interaction made me a little teary-eyed. Awesome sauce. The fact that the writers did not redeem Chris. I've been wanting Chris to go full Shane. I think it will be interesting to see him become more and more disconnected with his father and his humanity. And I hope he never has a redemption storyline a la The Governor, but goes fully off the rails like Shane did. Weak sauce. Frickin' Travis! Though I appreciate the way he's maintaining his respect for life and trying to save his son, he is such a mushy pacifist. He's about to lose his child and he can't smack his kid up the head and physically drag him away from these douchey bros. Come on, Travis. Caveat. I secretly suspect that Travis has a dark monster inside him that's about to be unleashed on those bros. The show keeps hinting at him having a violent past. I think he's been doing everything to suppress it and it's gonna blow pretty soon. Wow! Prophetic much? I'm assuming you've seen the season finale already, and I think you've given us feedback, so good call there.
Yeah, she nailed it.
No doubt. Dark side indeed. What did she write? A dark monster inside? I would say definitely so.
Yeah. Yeah, and to those people that have said, maybe not on our Facebook group, but I've said, you know, gee, this isn't characteristic of Travis. It's like, yeah, it is. We've seen it once before. It's been hinted, but we saw it on the episode for the season finale of last season, The Good Man. He blew his top on that, the one guy that Ophelia was kind of, you know, cozying up with.
Digging on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the military guy whose name we can't remember.
Yeah.
Because he's unimportant. The only importance he served was to be the punching bag for Travis so that we would know that this might be coming.
Yeah.
And so that we wouldn't be surprised. And those of us who remember were not surprised.
Yeah. And if you forgot. Okay. Anyway.
All right.
All right. So our next is from PB and Zane, Judy. She says, quick FYI, I stream AMC on my iPad to my Apple TV. I went into the captioning settings on my TV itself and adjusted the size, font, and color, and it worked. I can read them much better now. Hope this helps, guys. It's possible. It's just my brand of TV that allowed me to do it. All right, for Wrath, she says, okay, so we start out with badass Ophelia. Her katana is a hammer. All she needs is a utility belt full of hammers. Maybe Madison should take her own advice that she gave to Travis about Chris and let Nick go. I was eating breakfast when the eyeballs got gouged out. I didn't finish. LOL. We all knew Alexandra wasn't bit. Totally got my attention. But now what about Madison's declaration of throwing anyone that hurts anyone else? Travis killed two guys. Yeah, that we didn't really comment too much about Alejandro and him being a fake because at least for me, it was so obvious that when they finally, you know, showed it on TV in the episode, it wasn't a shock. Like, you know, I couldn't accept any other explanation. So when, you know, I was proved correct, you know, it wasn't anything to boast about because it was so obvious to me anyway.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It's kind of like, yeah, well, duh.
Yeah. All right. And then she has feedback for North. She says, they get kicked out, so that answers my last line from above. Madison's facial expressions still never change. I wonder if she was put through a windshield, if that would change. Ew. The scalp cutting with a box cutter. I should always watch this show prior to eating. I would lose weight fast. And here goes Madison off on the mother of the year need to find Nick kick. Stop it already. Refugee camp, too good to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, funny. When I read the scalp cutting, I'm thinking of a scene in Westworld.
Westworld.
Yeah. I just watched HBO, which I know I've said many times I don't get, is free on Dish this weekend. So I was able to catch the first two episodes of Westworld, and there's a scalp cutting scene. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and she's right about maybe she just needs to take her own advice and let go of Nick. But hey, whatever, man.
Yeah, something she's not going to do.
Nope. And I get it. I mean, it's your kid. You're never going to give up on him. But, you know, just got to cut the apron strings at one point in time and just let go. He's an adult. He's a grown man. So there you go. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Judy. And she also gave a rating in Awesome Sauce. But if we got your review, rating, Awesome Sauce, etc. before it was in the previous episode, so we're not going to repeat them. But there is one example at least where we did give them in here. So anyway,
right? Because we accepted late feedback, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. Next is Sophie. She says, "Anyone else wonder if Ophelia was caught by the same guys as Nick and the Colonias? It would be one way to merge the storylines of two of our straggling characters since Strand is separated from the gang now, at least for a while." That's pretty much what I assumed. I mean, I kind of think I covered that in my why else would she be there?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I have heard some people suggest the opposite. In fact, I was listening to one podcast, one that I never listened to before, who I thought the person that was one of the hosts sounded a lot like Ruthie. Was almost like she was doing a Ruthie imitation, complete with the well, I won't say her name, but I'll do it like Ruthie would. I'm Ruthie. Oh God, that was bad.
No comment.
Oh, that was terrible. Anyway.
Yes, my sing-songy voice. It's okay. You can say it.
The sing-songy voice. She sing-songied her name. But anyway, the hosts on that show all thought that that character was not part of the border, whatever. And I don't agree. I think.
I mean, they were on the border.
I think the refugee camp, the I've heard them called Minutemen, although I was trying to look that up to see what the deal is with Minutemen, and I couldn't find anything online other than the fact that, of course, Minutemen were involved in the Revolutionary Army. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that may be a reference that I didn't pick up, but
kind of like their militia, I think.
Yeah.
Mainly, so.
Well, anyway, the guys that took Nick, the one that took Ophelia and that camp in the distance, I think are all the same. So, but we'll find out for sure. But that's what I tend to think.
I agree.
And I think you're right that Ophelia is going to be brought to that refugee camp. It just, you know, it's another Occam's razor thing. You know, it's just the most obvious explanation. And that almost always, much like Alejandro, turn out to be the correct one.
Yep. All right. Next, we have Dieta, who says, I just watched the episodes, and Chris's death comes as no surprise to me. I predicted his death would come, just didn't think it was going to be by the bros. LOL. Travis finding out the bros killed his son and him reacting the way he did was so epic, and I really felt his rage and pain. But why didn't Travis tell Madison the truth about Chris? Travis tried to get him to see the bros weren't his friends, but Chris chose them over his dad. He even went as far as pulling a gun on his own dad. He had everybody thinking he abandoned him, but he didn't. Chris left him. Ophelia made it to America. She is handling herself quite well out there in the apocalypse. Strand is tired of Madison putting everybody at risk for what she wants. Very selfish with her actions. What I found funny was how Travis is helping her look for Nick right after losing his son. She is like, we know your son is dead, but let's go find mine because he's still alive. IDK. That was a pretty short grieving period. And poor Alicia, I think she would be better off with Strand instead of chasing her mom, chasing Nick. And I agree with PB and Zane, aka Judy. Why doesn't she take her own advice and let Nick go already? Alicia killed to save Travis. I wonder, are they all going to start keeping kill journals to see who gets the most? So now a whole community is covered in blood and walking with the dead. Guess this is going to be a regular look. Overall, the season finale was way better than the season. I agree. Season finale was better. However, I feel like the penultimate was better than the actual ultimate. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think Travis implied that he failed because he let Chris get away. Not necessarily, like, he didn't do everything he could have, you know, that he didn't, like, bodily grab him or something like that. Because, I mean, he feels like he could have done more, probably. And that's probably the sentiment that he's expressing, which is why I think Madison is telling him, listen, no, you did everything you could. He walked away from you, and it's probably better that way, which I agree. He's better off.
Yeah, I didn't have the impression that Travis didn't tell Madison everything. My impression was, if it was in the flashback, he told that to Madison. So, you know, and everything was in the flashback, so that tells me that he told her everything. You know, that was my take on it.
Yeah.
So we didn't see him or hear him say those things, but that was how I took it, but.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think he told the whole story, but, you know, anyway.
All right. Debbie says, I just finished watching the final episode of Fear the Walking Dead, and I'm here sitting thinking, what is it about this show that is bugging me? I finally realized a few things. One thing in particular is that there is a lot of dialogue and that this show is really is another sitcom slash soap opera. Unfortunately, I can't help compare Fear the Walking Dead with the original Walking Dead, and I keep waiting for that special spark or unique character that draws me in, and it's just not happening. With that said, I've enjoyed the series, but it just doesn't have the pizzazz that the original Walking Dead has. And, you know, I would still say that I love the show, but I don't love the show like I love The Walking Dead. So, yes, I'm picking favorites, but tough. I think the general consensus is that Fear the Walking Dead is not as good as the original The Walking Dead, and that's my take as well. I do love it. I do, you know, want to continue watching it for, you know, as long as it's on, but it doesn't have the same place in my heart that The Walking Dead has.
Doesn't have the same oomph.
No, it doesn't. And I think a lot of that has to do with the characters, but it also it's not just that. Like, there have been problems with this show that I think The Walking Dead hasn't had. Like, for example, the timeline. You know, there have been so many issues with the timeline in this show that you could argue, you know, that there are other, you know, issues with the timeline on the original show, but they're not to this extent, not even close.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there, but I mean, I was thinking about maybe we would have a little, I know this is a feedback episode, but have a little overall thoughts of the episode section at the end, if you want.
Yeah.
We can, cause I've got some things to say as well. But yeah, I agree, Debbie. It's lacking that special something.
Yeah. All right. The next one is from Corey, a fellow GSM podcaster of
Triple Cast,
the 12 Monkeys Uncaged. And he says A++ for sure. So I guess that would be in the, 9.5 to 10 area. Sure. They got rid of Chris, and he says, thanks, J-Boos.
No, thank Jeebus.
Jeebus. Okay.
Like, thank you, Jesus. Thank Jeebus.
Oh, okay. no wonder I didn't get that one.
That's hilarious.
And they got some balls with that awesome revenge ass-kicking scene with Travis. Loved it. Yeah, as did I.
Totally agree. I think that was... I think that's a pretty... wide majority consensus there is that we all felt really, really gratified in a way that kind of makes us feel a little ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah. Although, and I was telling you this, Ruthie, I was listening to one podcast that was even criticizing that scene. And I just was like,
well, they're just crazy.
Wow. I one-starred them. So. And they had it coming because
they had it coming just like the bros.
Yep.
Well, they will remain nameless because we don't want to, you know, advertise other people over a, you know, we don't want to. You'll make your own decision. How about that? That's what I'm trying to say.
I know at least one listener in our group listens to them. So, you know, if you want to guess who you are and what podcast I'm talking about, go ahead and send me a message and tell me if I'm right.
Otherwise, you can just keep it to yourself because we don't want to disparage other people.
No.
Even though they might deserve it. We'll keep that part of it anonymous.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah, we will privately chastise them, but publicly not. Cutter. Well,
we're publicly chastising them. We're just not telling everybody who it is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Cutter's next, and he says, much like Corey was talking about, Travis's rage when finding that they killed his son was so true and brutal, and seeing his pain at knowing what the bros did to his son and knowing he'll never forgive himself for not trying harder to keep him. Yeah, I agree, Cutter.
I agree. I think that's partially, I mean, the bros got the brunt of it, but I think they're also bearing a little bit of his own feelings of regret and pain and failure and just, you know, like, but you know, that's only like 10%. They got 90% that they deserved.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yep. Okay. I have to prepare myself for this. Whew. All right. Kyle is up next. He says, wow, wow. All I have to say right now is that was Walking Dead level. Why didn't they do that the whole season? Awesome. It was like watching a completely different show. It hooked me and kept me. And the wrath of Travis. Holy moly, that was edge of my seat. Yelling out, OMG, OMG moment. I would say that moment and even this episode, kind of calling both episodes as one, the best of the entire series. And he goes on to say a little bit later, I wish I could rewatch these two episodes, but I'm just not going to have the time before the cutoff. So I'll make this quick. This by far were the episodes that I, and I think we, have been waiting for. It's not without its problems, like the bros over the top douchebaggery and Madison's public march in front of Travis' son Square Garden. But all in all, I felt like I was watching an episode of TWD. Okay, Travis, everything leading up to this scene was an emotional crescendo to what we all knew was coming. The face-off between Travis and the bros and what happened to Chris. It was like watching a fuse being lit and the countdown to the explosion that followed. I kept telling myself while watching the flashbacks of Chris, like, this isn't what happened. They are lying. And finally, when Travis caught on to their botched detail of accounts, I was like, OMG, you guys are so effed. Then we get to witness the moment that this new world breaks his GD soul. Mm. Travis gives us a brutal, unforgiving visual diarrhea, tossing our humanity out the window while screaming at us, it's gonna be the beatdown of the century, that in the end left us viewers, or at least me, with bruised eyeballs from all the sheer pain that was witnessed. God, it was so amazing. This scene was a scene that Fear's big brother, TWD, would be so proud of. Even if it took this long in the series to have finally reached it. The rest of the show was good, but I really wanted to watch it again, so at least for now, that Travis event was my awesome sauce. My moment, the big payoff for sticking with the show through its ups and downs. P.S. Again, stop the zombie invisibility cloak!
You know,
agree more.
You skipped right through the best thing he said.
What?
You can you talk again? You said something funny. Oh no. Your microphone is doing it again with the synthesizer. Yeah, it's doing it. Can you try changing USB ports again? Right now I'm not hearing it at all. I don't. Okay, it's still doing it. It's still doing it. Can you try? Okay, I hear you now. Are you on the internal microphone?
How about now?
Yes, you're okay.
That's weird.
Okay, check.
So did it start cutting out or something?
Yeah, as you were talking, it started doing it, and
it was
instantaneous.
Well, I wasn't even using the same USB port. I was using a different one, so maybe it's the mic.
I don't think it's the mic.
I don't know. Who knows?
I think it's the computer. GoFundMe.com/RuthiePodcasts.
Yeah. Are you going to leave all this in?
I'm going to leave a little bit of it in.
Okay, well, let me make sure that my mic is coming through on what it's supposed to be coming through. I have no idea if I'm recording with my USB mic right now on the Audacity. So I don't know.
You should be able to look that up if you look it on Audacity.
But it says ATR USB, but I don't know, because the last time that I switched it out, I had problems trying to start recording with it. So
okay. Is it showing that it's showing when you talk it?
It's showing the ATR USB microphone. I'm just saying the last time I switched it out, it wouldn't let me start recording. I had to stop Audacity and restart it. So
did you stop recording? Or you
did? No, I didn't. Okay. I just unplugged it and plugged it back in.
All right. Well, let's hope it's still going. So
let's hope you don't need to use it, so it doesn't matter.
And
let me see what my mic settings are on my Skype right now, just to make sure.
Well, you sound fine on my end now, so I don't think there's a problem in that end at all. Everything looks good to me.
Okay, well, forgive me if I'm going to double check.
And
all right, cool.
We've had yet another system malfunction on Ruthie's end. So this is where a good time to say, please help out Ruthie to get a new computer. And that is at GoFundMe.com/RuthiePodcasts.
Plural podcasts.
Podcasts. And I was just, you know, it's funny though. You skipped right over, like glossed over the funniest thing that Kyle said, which was Madison's public march in front of Travison Square Garden.
That was pretty funny. But it's hard to think about what you want to respond about when you're actually reading. So that's what the other person is supposed to do.
Well, at the Travison Square Garden, where Muhammad Ali is.
Oh, that was a pretty good announcer voice there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not even going to try it because I can't do
that. I'm Howard Cosell. The scene at the Madison Square Garden was Muhammad Ali versus, what was it? What'd they call him? Anyway, Joe Frazier.
The Rumble in the Jungle or something, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't even know. Okay, listen. Before I make a complete fool of myself, I'm not even going to try and talk about boxing.
Yeah, and that was before you were even born. The thriller in Manila.
There you go.
Anyway.
I don't want to embarrass myself thusly, so I'm going to not even try that mess. Yeah, I can't even remember what I was talking about as far as Kyle goes. I got so discombobulated by my little microphone USB port issue failure thing. So anyway, great feedback, Kyle. I loved reading it. I hope everyone heard it okay.
It'll
be the beatdown of the century.
The USB failed only after, like, as I was responding to his feedback, that's when you failed. The everything you read came out okay. But
I'm glad.
All right.
Maha.
Next is Laura. And, you know, she gave feedback for the previous episode. Well, she gave written and oral audio feedback. So
yeah. Written and audio. Thank you.
Written and audio feedback. I started saying oral feedback. It's like, okay, well, anyway, audio. So starting with her written feedback, darn, I wrote up a rating and some sauces last night and it just must not have posted. So I give the whole finale a 7.5 out of 10. Didn't like it as much as last season's finale, and there are a lot of little nitpicky things as to why, but still kept me entertained and intrigued. Her awesome sauce, Travis hulking out and Chris dying. The first I predicted and the second I was expecting. Travis has had this repressed rage since season one. Remember him almost killing the soldier he had been protecting in LA? And I liked that Chris didn't get his redemption story. His callous actions led to his death, and I thought that was much more realistic. Plus, the fact that it was just revealed in flashback was very different for The Walking Dead, but also more realistic that Travis never got to say goodbye. Even though Chris had become a little shite, I did feel a bit bad for the way he died in that lonely, cold way left on the street. And she called it, instead of weak sauce, she called it lame sauce, but I can still say,
"You're worthless and weak."
And she says, "The way Andreas put down Oscar with a tiny little prick to the top of his brain, I really don't think Dave Erickson is committed to the mythology of The Walking Dead. Didn't Jenner show Rick in the Prime show that the infection generates from the base of the brain? I don't think a little 1/4 incision at the top of the brain will keep him from turning."
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I lost my... Okay. In an episode that was so gory, I found it humorous that Oscar was put down in such a cream puff scene. It was like Andreas used Oscar's brain as a pincushion. Yeah. And yep. And you brought up the same...
I did. Scene. I had problems with that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Didn't bother me as much as the two of you, but I do agree that was lame. And and like you said, you would think that a brain injury would make sure that he would not turn, but I kind of attributed that to, you know, them not completely understanding the mechanism of change or metamorphosis, you know. So they just did it as a precautionary measure, not completely understanding how people turn.
Yeah, I get that for them, but my problem also, if you recall, was when what's-his-face, who had his face stomped in, started to turn. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Like, if he gets his nose basically jammed into his brain and his head bashed in so badly but he still turns, that doesn't make any sense. But then at the same time, then you have people using a tiny little, like she said, tiny little 1/4-inch, you know, box opening knife basically to, the inconsistency there was my issue within the episode. I understand that they don't necessarily know or understand what would do that. But I mean, err on the side of caution. Just give that guy a big old whack or something. I'm like, jam your knife directly into his ear canal, like all the way through his brain if you have to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you could also, you know, criticize, and you did. You thought it was lame. In the previous episode, Nick, you know, thumbs through the eyes thing. And I heard on another podcast, something about that, you know, made me question a little bit more about the fact that in order for that to work, you would have to, puncture I can't remember. There's a bone back there. That would have to be broken basically with the thumbs. And of course that could, you know, cut your thumbs, and Nick would have to cut off his thumbs. And of course,
yeah. And you need those.
And of course,
disposable thumbs.
And of course that was something that they didn't completely realize, because it would have been difficult for them to do something with the guy whose nose got bit off, but the one whose finger got, bit off, you know, they could have cut off the hand and it probably would have stopped the infection, but they didn't know that. So they sent her, you know, on the bus trip to death.
Yeah, to ridiculousness, Bill.
Yeah. All right. So we also have a voicemail for Laura. So here it is.
Yay, voicemail.
Yeah, our first in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian and Ruthie, this is Lara. Pretty good episode, very dark and gritty. You can see where Dave Erickson's experience with Sons of Anarchy came in. Just had a couple of issues. One of them was the characters at the hotel. Elena and her nephew Hector were just a couple weeks ago mortal enemies with Oliver and Andreas, and they wanted to kill each other. But now Travis comes in and kills a couple of complete strangers who were jerks anyhow and killed his son. And now they're all teamed up with Andreas, which understandably his brother was one of the victims who didn't deserve it. But I don't understand why they're all of a sudden ready to throw out Madison and Alicia after they had had this like really tight alliance. I thought it was being a bit contrived just for the sake of the story. However, I did stand up and cheer when Strand said, "I didn't die for him, and I'm certainly not going to die for you, any of you." And I'm like, yes, Strand, you're the only smart one in this scene, and I'm actually really glad that he stayed at the hotel. I figure they're eventually all going to meet up, but I really love it that he stuck it to Madison. Okay, and then the one thing that really, really annoyed me about this episode is get this. This is my impression of Madison as Travis is getting beaten 2-on-1 and then starts to kill two men with his bare hands. Travis! No! No, Travis! Stop! Stop! Ah! Oh, she totally annoyed me. I mean, wouldn't you be breaking down those doors with an axe or a hammer or something to get in there? She's just polite tapping on the door and like she's telling her son to stop drawing on the wall with a crayon. And then this is her impression after Alicia kills her first living person. Hey, you'll be all right. Oh my God, I hate her. Okay, rant over. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, rant over.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the problems that we've had with the show are centered around Madison.
Yep.
And, you know, her kind of woodenness, her kind of one-note kind of reactions that she has. Lack of emotional range, etc., etc., etc.
I've heard other people say, you know, same expression on her face constantly. So it's kind of like, yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen her in other things. I don't remember her being that way on other shows. So I guess it's the portrayal slash the way that she's being written. But I don't know.
I don't know either. But yeah. Lame sauce.
Yeah.
Weak sauce.
That is the extent of our feedback.
All right. So after having listened to everyone and all that stuff, I kind of wanted to just maybe go over, like, if you had any overall thoughts of the series so far.
Well, I think I shared some of it already, but essentially, you know, I do enjoy the show, but it has its problems, and it's a little frustrating, you know, that and one of those things is like some of the things I don't think can be fixed with the show because they're systemic, you know, and a lot of it at this point, you know, I think the best course for it is to turn into like a CSI Miami, CSI whatever, New York, or NCIS New Orleans, NCIS LA, same kind of, you know, show with different characters and a different setting. I think that, you know, the closer that they stay to kind of the Walking Dead formula, the better. Where the show has failed, I think, has been where they try to deviate And, you know, I went back again and watched Talking Dead, and I also watched the extended or the bonus scene that is offered on AMC.com of Talking Dead. There's always like a little segment, they call it Talking Dead. And yet again, they did not ask Kirkman about the gormiflage. And, you know, again, to me, that is one of the biggest weaknesses of the show. You know, their use of gormiflage. I am happy that they've used it more than the original show, but not to the extent. It's like literally every single episode, it has been a staple, and it shouldn't be at, you know, there should be some kind of consequence that should be introduced to wearing the gormiflage to this extent. Because otherwise, then I think at this point, people have to start asking Kirkman, okay, then why don't, if there are no repercussions, then why don't they start using it on the original show? You know, it's almost like they've proven that there isn't any kind of health concern. So,
right.
Really, you know, Kirkman, you're either lying about that, which of course wouldn't be the first time, or
he just,
it was something you hadn't considered.
Yeah. Hadn't considered. Doesn't know about it. Doesn't care about it.
Right. So that's where I go with it. The biggest issue I think that I've had with the show has been the timeline. I think that they had a grand opportunity to show things break down, and they skipped over it. And you know, that was a major setback, I think, in the show. And it wasn't just that, though. You know, the characters. I mean, we're still in a position where we don't care for Madison all that much. I've finally grown to like Travis and Alicia. And, you know, I haven't had, some people can't stand Nick. I've liked Nick from the beginning, but, you know, like there's no Daryl, there's no Glenn, there's no Maggie, there's no Michonne. Characters that, you know, right from the beginning we liked. Well, although I don't know if you could say that about Michonne, she kind of warmed up, but it didn't take her, you know, two seasons. It was basically by the three quarters of the way through season three, she started showing, you know, more depth. But anyway, my point being that the characters, I don't think have been, as good on this show. And it's not all negative. There have been some great things, I think, about this show. I love what they did in this, you know, with Wrath and what they did to Travis. Some people thought that Chris and, you know, killing him off was an opportunity that, you know, they shouldn't have done that. And I don't agree. I think they pretty much had to kill off Chris. He was so annoying, and you know, you indicated that before, and I agree with you. You know, I couldn't stand him either. So I think he had to go, and I think what his character being gone does to Travis makes it pay off in ways that turning him into, you know, the governor or Shane or Negan, I don't think would have paid off. You know, so.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the problems are systemic also, because my main problem is, and I think I might have not really gotten this idea, but it was very well articulated in that article that was posted in the Facebook group a little while ago about the problems with Fear right now.
Yeah.
And to me, that is that the problem with the series is that they skipped over the parts that would have made it significantly different enough that it would have been the same universe, but a different story to tell. I mean, they keep comparing themselves to Star Trek, but I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, you're not doing it the way that Star Trek did. Star Trek gave you, you know, the Next Generation, gave you the basically in the future from the original series, but it's still the Enterprise, you know, and it's the, you know, the not to your mission anymore, but to basically the flagship of the star, you know, of the
Federation.
Thank you. I'm like, you're so irritated right now that my brain just went, it's the flagship of the Federation. And it is the ship that's, you know, out there doing the most. And so they're going to follow it. And then it gives you Deep Space Nine, which is a show that while, you know, it's in the exact same universe, the exact same time. They didn't really feel the need to cross over all that much. They did it a little bit and I liked it. But it was basically a completely different story, but within the same thing, you know? I mean, it's possible to have these different stories, but still have the different story affecting both shows at the same time, but it's set on a space station, which is a stationary thing, and, you know, a lot of people didn't like that until you really got into it. And then Voyager, you know, a ship stranded in this quadrant that's millions of light years away, basically. It's so far away that they'll never return home at, you know, warp 9 for the rest of their lives unless they can figure out a way to get back, which,
right.
You know, spoiler alert, they did. but, you know, I mean, the thing about it is, and like, and again, same universe, same time period even, it's just a completely different story. The problem is Fear is not different enough, and they squandered what they could have done. They could have made it different from the original enough by not skipping over the part that would have made it different.
Right.
Now it's just a rehash. It's just a different, you know, same song, second verse in a different part of the world, but not different enough. I'm sorry. Mexico is different. Yes, but it's just, it's not different enough. It's still hot. You know, everybody's still dealing with, you know, this, that, and whatever. Instead of dealing with crazy American idiots, they're dealing with crazy Mexican idiots like the narcos, you know, instead of dealing with the vatos in Georgia, they're dealing with the narcos in Mexico. And, you know, while the vatos ended up being not bad guys, really, it's just, I mean, they deal with plenty of other bad guys that it just kind of, it's not different enough. And I feel like had they not skipped over those 9 days, the show could have been so much better.
Right.
Because then we could have been watching them this whole time. You know, oh my gosh, are they going to figure this out? Are they going to figure that out? And, you know, we could have continued our segment about what did they learn this episode? You know, things that we already knew that they didn't know that they figured out. Or what did we learn about, you know, basically the origin of the outbreak and all that kind of stuff. They just had so much opportunity that they completely squandered. And, you know, now I'm just kind of like, it's just not different enough. And, you know, to add insult to injury, I don't care about the characters enough.
Right.
There are not enough characters that I care about. And I think that's the crux of the issue, because when it got right down to it, I cared about the characters on Deep Space Nine and I cared about the characters on Voyager. Whereas at this point in time, I'm like, yeah, okay, well, you know, they're kind of, I guess, good, but I'm just like, And
it's taken a lot longer to get to that point. I mean,
yeah, and it shouldn't. It shouldn't take that long. It just, you know, I think we've said this time and time again about The Walking Dead. It's about the characters. It's not really about the situation that they're in. It's about the characters and how they react to the situations that they get put in. And I feel like he just, now all I can do is nitpick instead of like, you know, reminding myself, okay, this is new in the zombie apocalypse. All I can do is nitpick the fact that they shouldn't be this experienced yet. They shouldn't know all this stuff yet.
Yeah.
Because you just kind of basically gave them an accelerated growth period by skipping over these 9 days. Like, did they actually skip over 2 years and none of us were paying attention? I mean, it just, that's my issue. That's my overall issue with the show right now.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm issued with it. it irritates me that they took this opportunity. They could have, at this point in time, I have to say, no, I'm sorry. You don't have a franchise on your hands. They could have had they done something different enough, but they didn't. And you wasted that opportunity, like you said, by, you know, by not doing what we thought that they were going to do. giving us the beginning of the apocalypse. Yes, you showed it to us from days in, but now they're doing things that people who've only been in this world for 2 months, they shouldn't know how to do.
Right.
And so it makes it really hard to not compare it to the original show,
right,
because we're seeing you do things and make, you know, make actions and take actions, I guess, and, you know, make decisions based on something that seems very similar to the original show, in which case we're going to criticize you for it because they did it better. I'm sorry.
Right. Right. And, you know, one thing I will bring up, like, okay, they have dealt with, the whole, you know, feelings about the dead, you know, that supposedly Mexican culture would, have a different respect for the dead than we do in the States. But I think, and I had a lot less problems with the, you know, the Colonia than I did with Celia. But even then, like, you know, I'm sorry, Celia was just a nutcase. You know, that's the only,
Fat crap crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, she goes and kills an entire church of people, you know, by tainting the communion wafers. I mean, like, that is not something a sane person would do. That is a crazy act, you know. And
yeah,
with even with the Alejandro slash Colonia, you know, type thing, that whole thing about, you know, oh, well, you've been bitten, here, now you have to go feed all the other infected. I mean, like you had said, that's crazy. That is
a horrific way to die.
Yeah.
No wonder they're scared crapless.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go out like that. I mean, like I said, shoot me in the heart, like send me in there and shoot me in the heart so I'm dead, so they don't eat me and I can still serve the same purpose.
Right.
I have a huge issue with that.
Yeah. That whole part of it didn't make any sense. And it didn't treat the infected with respect. I mean, like, what makes someone graduate to the congratulations? You don't have to go in and you know, feed everyone else. You can instead protect us. Like, there doesn't seem to be any kind of explanation as to you know, what turns someone to that end and not to the other end. So,
yeah. Well, not only that, I don't know a lot about the Day of the Dead and the Day of the Dead ceremony, but I don't think that it's necessarily fair to say that they respect the dead more than we do. I think they just have a different relationship with the dead.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that they necessarily really explored that very well in these episodes, like they could have. It, I mean, they gave us one totally extreme, not mainstream idea about it that, I mean, I don't know. I need someone who is from Mexico to tell me if all the dead people that you knew started walking around and trying to eat your face off, would you react the way that Celia did? Or, you know, would you react differently? I don't. You know, that's what I need to be told, because to me, that doesn't make any sense at all. And that has absolutely nothing with respecting the dead. But again, I'm not all the way familiar with the, what is it? Dios de los Muertos, or yeah. I don't even know how to say it. I understand that, you know, Day of the Dead is a very important part of the culture and all that stuff. But I mean, I don't know. I can't, like I said, I can't speak to it, but it seems to me that they didn't do a very good job of portraying that or respecting it, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know any more about it now than I did back then because, you know, and the way that, I don't know. I just, to me, I mean, I feel like you can respect the dead, but not want them to eat your face off.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I don't know.
So, you know, I do love the show. I do, you know, I do want to continue to watch the show. I do intend to hopefully podcast about the show, but it does not hold the same place in my heart that that The Walking Dead does. And, you know, it's not even close. You know, it's and you know, there are other shows that are on that I love more than Fear the Walking Dead. And I'm not just including The Walking Dead. I'm including things like Mr. Robot and Orphan Black and Preacher. You know, those three. And even The Last Ship, I think, is slightly, I love slightly more than Fear the Walking Dead. You know, so it's just, it's a pale imitation of the original. And unfortunately, it could have been, you know, something more than that. And unfortunately, it's just, now I think the show can improve. You know, a lot of shows, you know, they go through their sophomore slump and,
yeah, the problem is the freshman year wasn't spectacular.
Right. But I mean, if we go back and, you know, you were talking about Next Generation, the first season of Next Generation was, you know, when we look back at it, it was pretty crappy. And the second season, although it had certain more moments that were really good, it wasn't as good as, you know, like it was only when the show got to season three that it really started hitting its stride. And, you know, perhaps Fear the Walking Dead season three will start hitting those strides. But
maybe, but before you go on with that, I have to tell you, that's like comparing apples and oranges, because The Next Generation came out in a completely different TV time frame.
Right.
Had Next Generation come out now, yeah, it probably would have been canceled. But, you know, it didn't. And at this point in time, unfortunately, TV landscape being the way it is, you have to hit your mark a lot sooner than you did maybe 30 years ago. So,
well, yeah. And the other point being that, you know, the original was, you know, nearly, well, I guess it was, you know, more than 20 years.
The original
years.
Was canceled.
Right. Very true. But the original TV series, you know, it started in 66 and it was 87 when Next Generation came out. So, you know, the things had changed a lot in TV. So it only made sense that it would take them some time to, you know, hit their stride. But the other thing is, and I think I said this once before, with Next Generation, actually, I think I did on the episode that we haven't released yet, which was when we talked about Mr. Robot and Star Trek. So, but anyway, Next Generation, you know, first couple of seasons wasn't so great, but compared to everything else that was out in 1987 or 1988, it was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, so comparatively, it was still.
You can't compare it to TV now.
Right. And in the case of Fear the Walking Dead, you know, the template was there, and you know, there was fertile ground there,
yeah,
that could have been examined that unfortunately they skipped over. And you know, it wasn't just the 9 days that caused the skip over. Even after that, everything they've done since then, putting them on a ship,
well, they skipped over kind of in their minds,
right?
By making them act the way that the people who've been doing this for 2 years are acting.
Right. But the point being is that, you know, there's a lot that they could have shown us that they didn't. And I don't know if some of that was budget or some of that was direction or some of that was a network or some of that was
showrunner or all of the above.
All of the above. I don't know. But, you know, what I think has to happen at this point is they have to, unfortunately, I think where the show has worked, and I say unfortunately, has been, you know, when the show is looking at the similar kind of levels as the other show did. You know, in other words, the show can only succeed now if it follows a template similar to The Walking Dead. And that's unfortunate because it could have.
Because we already have one of those.
Right, right. And like you say, you know, it's that's always going to make it compared to the original. And it didn't have to be this way. It could have been a lot different. It could have examined the, you know, the first couple of months. It could have examined all the time that Rick was in the coma. And it skipped over them. And that's something that only a third Walking Dead show could try to go back, and they could say, well, no, really, we're really going to show you the apocalypse this time. No, really.
Yeah, in which case I might be like, pass.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's my take. I still intend on, you know, continuing, but it's just, it's not the original. And you know, as if I can kind of continue to try to watch the show on its own accord and not, you know, continually compare it to the original, I think I'll be okay. It's where it comparing to the original show, you know, they have to do a better job of us, you know, especially Madison. I think they really, they need to stop hinting at this dark side of Madison and actually show it.
Yeah.
You know,
because I just don't believe you. I don't think she's, I mean, I think she's got it in her, I guess, but I don't really, I don't know. I'm like, what exactly are you talking about? I mean, we all have a dark side, but I've never killed anybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what are you referring to exactly when you say, you know, she's got this dark side? I'm like, did she kill somebody before the apocalypse?
Because, guidance counselor from hell.
Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't been through the zombie apocalypse yet, and I haven't killed anybody, but I'm pretty darn sure that if I had to, especially to protect my family, and the zombie apocalypse was happening, I would.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I don't know that I would necessarily say that means that I have a dark side per se. I mean, I probably do a little bit, but I mean, I think, like I said, everybody does, but that doesn't necessarily, I don't know. I just feel like that's like this, like you're trying to lure us back in, but it's not, it's with fluff, not substance. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm at this point in time, I'm not really sure. Like, you offered up some solutions, but I don't really feel like they can do anything to right the ship, because that ship kind of has sailed to me. You know, they needed to make it different from the beginning. And they, as I said, they squandered that opportunity. And so now I'm not quite sure if they can do that.
The only way I think they can is by making us care about the characters more. You know, do a better job.
Yeah, but if you don't care about the characters by now, I mean, what's going to make you start? I don't know.
New characters?
Well, I guess. But, I mean, I think, honestly, people might have given up.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot have. I mean, they may be satisfied with the ratings that they're getting on this show. But, I mean, yeah, and they're, you know, they're obviously ecstatic at the ratings that they're getting on The Walking Dead, but you know, that's a huge drop off. I mean, it's like, you know, 25% roughly of the ratings of the original. And you know, that's a huge drop off, a 75% drop off. That's huge. And you know, call it what you will, call it, you know, different time of the year, whatever.
But they messed up there too.
Right. Well, yeah.
It's oversaturation.
Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, you know, I'm glad that there is a 3-week, you know, gap between the two shows. I think that's
is there only two?
Well, no. What do you mean it's only two? There are 2 weeks off. Yeah. But I mean, like, between the 2nd and the 23rd, there's 21 days. So it's 21 days to hype up the new show. The thing that they're doing next week with this 2-hour retrospective, I think, is a great idea. From what I understand, that the journey so far, as they call it, is going to be a chance for people that, you know, either haven't watched The Walking Dead at this point, or, you know, are much more casual and haven't, you know, gone back and watched it, since the episode's been on, it'll give them a chance to, you know, get familiar with the characters and kind of join things in season 7, or even to jog your memory and, oh yeah, I remember this now. That's all good. I think that the whole 2 episodes in one night, I say that's solely because of the debate. Like, I mean, you look at what HBO did with Westworld, and they released the episode 2 days early because
smart.
Yeah, because they wanted to give people a chance to watch it, you know, when the because during the debate, there's no way that people would have been watching the finale of Fear the Walking Dead.
That's maybe not necessarily true.
No.
I'm not planning on watching the debate no matter what. So.
Well,
I understand enough that a lot of people are going to be watching it. Not everyone.
Right.
A lot of people are dissatisfied. Let me just say that.
Yes, dissatisfied.
But yes, I agree. Yeah.
What, are you serious?
Yes, unfortunately. But yeah, that's not necessarily something that you want to compete against, so it's probably a good call.
Yeah.
But still.
I agree. But, you know.
I do know.
You have this debate between, two infected.
What?
Yeah. Did you watch that show Brain Dead?
No.
No?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. It was some show that on CBS where the politicians got infected.
Oh, I wanted to watch that, but I didn't. Yeah. Has that already come and gone?
Yeah, it's come and gone.
Darn. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and watch that because I kind of wanted to, because that's sort of how I feel sometimes.
I think that, that is a show. I did not watch it. I heard about it. And that's probably something that when I have CBS All Access,
was it funny? No.
I'm saying I didn't watch it. I only heard about it.
Oh, I thought you heard. Okay. I misunderstood when you said heard about it. I thought you meant you had heard from people who watched it about it.
Yeah, I did. And they,
okay, well, what did they say? Did they say it was funny?
They said it was funny, and they said it was good. Okay. They said it was a really smart take on things. So all of that made me intrigued, and, you know, it's...
Well, I'm going to have to watch it too then.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can have a little mini podcast about that.
Well, since it is kind of, zombie brain
zombie related. Adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else to say? I mean, I don't want to be negative about the show, but sometimes I can't help it because I don't have anything positive to say. And I can only go based on my source material.
Absence of the heart grows fonder. And what I really want is...
Hi. You're Rick, right? I'm Negan.
Hi, Negan. I can't wait to see you bust someone's head out.
It's funny. I'm actually not really looking forward to him busting someone's head out, so
I just mean
I know what you mean.
Yeah. To that end, and this is, I guess, where you could say,
what the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
One news item that I alluded to earlier, on the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. I posted a link to something on amc.com, which was a sneak preview of the season premiere. And it's about 3.5 minutes long. And it is an episode or a scene with Negan. And at least we know one of the 11 survived, and that was Rick. So it's a really good scene, and I just about, pooped myself in terror.
I was about to lose my mind. I thought you were going to actually give away a spoiler, but I think everybody knows Rick survived.
Yes, of course.
I was going to be like, what are you doing?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows Rick survived.
Come on now. Rick survived?
Not true.
Any opportunity to use Luke Skywalker, I will use. Anyway.
Oh, Luke.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good scene. And, you know, if you're not, some people don't like to see those things ahead of time, but yeah, I can't wait. My show is coming back, and, you know, Fear the Walking Dead to the same extent is not my show. The Walking Dead is my show. It is the show I obsess about. It is the show that gets me all verklempt constantly. You know, so it is coming. Yay, it's coming. 2 weeks away at the time we record this is on a Sunday. So it is 2 weeks away, and I can't wait.
Yep.
Anyway, that's it as far as our feedback. And do you have anything else to say about Fear? I don't.
Nope. Uh-uh.
Okay. I gave the Facebook group already, but it's, of course, facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And when the Walking Dead comes back, your feedback deadline will be 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired, which, of course, would be Tuesday, October 25th. And you can also give feedback, especially audio feedback, by going to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And if you would like to help us out, you can give us a review or a rating, which a rating only takes a second. So, you know, at least give us a rating. Just look us up on The Walking Dead, or the easiest way to find us on iTunes would be to search for Talk Through. You'll find us right away if you just do Talk Through. If you don't subscribe to us, you know, please use your podcast application of choice and subscribe to us. And anyway, if you could give us if you use iTunes and you could give us a rating or review, that would be great. I think Stitcher also does ratings and reviews. That would be helpful. It's been a little while since we've gotten a review, but on iTunes, but it would be helpful. So
okay, so I alluded to this earlier in the recording about the GoFundMe. So I just wanted to say thank you to Lara and Monica, who both donated to me. I really appreciate you guys so much. And I don't know if I had already thanked everybody who donated already, but I just wanted to give a really quick rundown to everyone who's donated to me. Thank you. Thank you so much, Debbie. And of course, my lovely co-host, Brian, Linda and Malika and Judy with two eyes, Kyle, Dieta and Monica and Lara. Thank you so much, you guys. You have no idea what this means to me. And I am so close to being able to get something that I've got my eyeballs on, but we'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every little bit counts, you know. If you can't afford much, you know, even I think it will take a dollar donation, but you know, whatever the minimum donation is, if that's all you can afford, you know, that's helpful. Any amount is helpful, because like we even had issues during this recording about with Ruthie's computer, so you know it is they're happening on a very frequent, pretty much every episode basis at this point. And, you know, I think it's just a matter of time before that computer completely fails and we'll have to do episodes via iPad or phone, and that won't be good.
Scary.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, if you wanted to know what that link was, it's Ruthie Podcasts. Plural at the end, as in I podcast, you podcast, he podcasts. Thinking about it now, I might have just put podcast. But hey, hopefully people can find it. The links are all over Facebook anyway. If you don't have Facebook, then you can send us a thing on feedback and it's in the show notes too. So anyway. Hopefully you don't have any trouble finding it, because I hate being frustrated, and it was definitely not my intention to frustrate people if they couldn't find the link. If you can't find the link, then give up. It's my fault.
Yeah, and it is posted on our Twitter and our Facebook.
And in the show notes.
Anyway,
you don't have Facebook.
You didn't say it, but it's GoFundMe.com is the website, and then it's /RuthiePodcasts.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess the next time we'll be talking to you guys, we'll be talking about The Walking Dead and what happened, and hopefully we'll be doing based on what everybody said, it's going to be a serious therapy session. So.
Yeah. And one thing that I wasn't sure about from last episode that I am sure about now, the season premiere is only 1 hour.
Huh.
Yeah, because I looked it up and it said that Talking Dead would premiere on October 23rd at 10 p.m. So basically it's going to be 1 hour of pain and then an hour and a half, a special 90-minute episode of Talking Dead that will be a therapy session. So, and of course,
they said they're going to have everybody.
Yes. Yeah. So it should be pretty awesome. And I wasn't too sure about it the last episode, but it is going to be done live at Hollywood Forever Cemetery is the name of the place. And it is the place where they did the finale of Breaking Bad. And I believe they did some kind of thing for The Walking Dead prior to Talking Dead. So it was sometime in season one they did something there. I don't know what, but yeah. So it should be pretty cool. Anyway.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. Sort of. I'm nervous. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us to the end of our episode. Until next time, I'm Ruthie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.